Sometimes we become so familiar with passages of Scripture that we hear them and don't think about them. Hello, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 76. This is the podcast where we read through the Bible in a year. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome. So good to have you with me today. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Today we begin a new book, Mark chapters 1 and 2. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, that info is at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 76. This is a listener-supported show, and it's brought to you in part partially by Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, my book that tells you how to pronounce every name in the Bible. If you read the Bible out loud in public, wouldn't it be nice to know how to pronounce those long Bible names? My book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, can help you do that. Take a look at easybiblenamesguide.com. Let's get ready to get started. Our Heavenly Father, as we open your word today, I pray that you would speak to each one of us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see what you have for us today. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started. Mark chapter 1. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way for you." A voice cries out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptizer was in the desert telling people about a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went to him. As they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. John was dressed in clothes made from camel's hair. He wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "The one who comes after me is more powerful than I. I am not worthy to bend down and untie his sandal straps. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw heaven split open and the Spirit coming down to him as a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. I am pleased with you." At once the Spirit brought him into the desert, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was there with the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. After John had been put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee and told people the good news of God. He said, "The time has come, and the kingdom of God is near. Change the way you think and act and believe the good news." As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew. They were throwing a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me. I will teach you how to catch people instead of fish." They immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went on a little farther, he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat preparing their nets to go fishing. He immediately called them, and they left their father Zebedee and the hired men in the boat and followed Jesus. Then they went to Capernaum. On the next day of worship, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching. Unlike their experts in Moses' teachings, he taught them with authority. At that time, there was a man in the synagogue who was controlled by an evil spirit. He shouted, "What do you want with us, Jesus from Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus ordered the spirit, "Keep quiet and come out of him." The evil spirit threw the man into convulsions and came out of him with a loud shriek. Everyone was stunned. They said to each other, "What is this? This is a new teaching that has authority behind it. He gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." The news about him spread quickly throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. After they left the synagogue, they went directly to the house of Simon and Andrew. James and John went with them. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. The first thing they did was to tell Jesus about her. Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her get up. The fever went away, and she prepared a meal for them. In the evening, when the sun had set, people brought to him every one who was sick and those possessed by demons. The whole city had gathered at his door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases and forced many demons out of people. However, he would not allow the demons to speak. After all, they knew who he was. In the morning, long before sunrise, Jesus went to a place where he could be alone to pray. Simon and his friends searched for him. When they found him, they told him, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus said to them, "Let's go somewhere else, to the small towns that are nearby. I have to spread the good news in them also. This is why I have come." So he went to spread the good news in the synagogues all over Galilee, and he forced demons out of people. Then a man with a serious disease came to him. The man fell to his knees and begged Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus felt sorry for him, reached out, touched him, and said, "I'm willing, so be clean." Immediately his skin disease went away, and he was clean. Jesus sent him away at once and warned him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, show yourself to the priest. Then offer the sacrifices which Moses commanded as proof to people that you are clean." When the man left, he began to talk freely. He spread his story so widely that Jesus could no longer enter any city openly. Instead, he stayed in places where he could be alone, but people still kept coming to him from everywhere. Mark chapter 2. Several days later, Jesus came back to Capernaum. The report went out that he was home. Many people had gathered. There was no room left, even in front of the door. Jesus was speaking God's word to them. Four men came to him carrying a paralyzed man. Since they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof over the place where Jesus was. Then they lowered the cot on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Some experts in Moses' teachings were sitting there. They thought, "Why does he talk this way? He's dishonoring God. Who besides God can forgive sins?" At once, Jesus knew inwardly what they were thinking. He asked them, "Why do you have these thoughts? Is it easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your cot, and walk'? I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralyzed man, "I'm telling you to get up, pick up your cot, and go home." The man got up, immediately picked up his cot, and walked away while everyone watched. Everyone was amazed and praised God, saying, We have never seen anything like this." Jesus went to the seashore again. Large crowds came to him, and he taught them. When Jesus was leaving, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners who were followers of Jesus were eating with him and his disciples. When the experts in Moses' teachings, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Those who are sick do. I've come to call sinners, not people who think they have God's approval." John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came to Jesus and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples fast, but your disciples don't?" Jesus replied, "Can wedding guests fast while the groom is still with them? As long as they have the groom with them, they cannot fast. But the time will come when the groom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast. No one patches an old coat with a new piece of cloth that will shrink. Otherwise, the new patch will shrink and rip away some of the old cloth, and the tear will become worse. People don't pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the wine will make the skins burst, and both the wine and the skins will be ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh skins." Once on a day of worship, Jesus was going through the grain fields. As the disciples walked along, they began to pick the heads of grain. The Pharisees asked him, "Look, why are your disciples doing something that is not permitted on the day of worship?" Jesus asked him, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he and his men were in need and were hungry? Haven't you ever read how he went into the house of God when Abiathar was chief priest and ate the bread of the presence? He had no right to eat those loaves. Only the priests have that right. Haven't you ever read how he also gave some of it to his men? Then he added, "The day of worship was made for people, not people for the day of worship. For this reason, the Son of Man has authority over the day of worship." In chapter 2, Jesus was asked why his disciples didn't fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees. In response, Jesus talked about wedding guests not fasting while the groom is still with them, and then he talked about patching an old garment with a new piece of cloth and putting new wine into old wineskins. Have you ever given much thought to Jesus' response to the question of fasting? Sometimes we become so familiar with passages of Scripture that we hear them and don't think about them. Let's quickly dissect these verses, shall we? First, it's important to note that a twice-weekly fast was not dictated by the law. The law given by God through Moses only required one fast to be done on the Day of Atonement. It was the Pharisees who came up with the idea of a twice-weekly fast. You probably know that they added a tremendous number of laws, and I put that in air quotes, that the Jews were required to follow. The more of these laws you followed, the more spiritual you were thought to be. In terms of the wedding scenario, that one seems fairly obvious. Jesus was saying that to fast during the wedding feast was silly. Jesus was, in this parable, equating himself with the bridegroom, and while he was here on earth, it was a time of celebration because he came to fulfill the prophecies of the coming Messiah. The prophecies of the old cloth and old wineskins are similar to one another. A patch of new cloth on an old garment will shrink when it's washed, tearing the old cloth. New wine, or what's another name for that? Grape juice? Well, that ferments. This produces carbon dioxide, which stretches the wineskin. An old wineskin would burst under the pressure. So, what is Jesus' point? Jesus brought a new kind of faith, a new covenant based in grace and faith in Him. You cannot mix this new covenant with a slavish adherence to a works-based religion, even if doing so makes you feel righteous. We cannot earn righteousness despite our best efforts. Righteousness is credited to us based on faith in Christ. Make sense? What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. All right, tomorrow our scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 7 and 8. I hope you'll be with me and that you'll invite a friend or two to listen. Please consider donating to help produce this podcast. I'm starting a new thing. Anyone who signs up for a monthly donation will receive early access to the podcast. As soon as I post a new episode, you'll be notified with a link to the show. Sometimes I post shows days in advance and sometimes just the day before. Depends on my schedule. But if you're a monthly donor, you will be notified as soon as the file is put onto my servers. How's that? Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.